The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
And folks, you're listening to The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How are you? Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I can hear you. Christoph. Ushakula for Ramadan, nama bado.
No, I'm going to have dinner and then I'll have tutamka at 4:30 a.m. to eat.
And who cooks?
In the morning. In the morning, everyone sorts themselves out. Like my mom and dad eat chapatis. Me, I eat yogurt, chia seeds, and bananas.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has a different thingy. Everyone prefers one thing in the morning. You can't be eating it at that time. Wait, though. I do not know how you will sustain muscle mass if you attempt Ramadan.
If I ask you about that, that is so funny. If I ask you about that, I want to ask you.
Uh-huh.
The previous guest asked you.
What is their favorite color and why is that their favorite color? and thinking of this color, what does it remind them of? Does mm-hmm. it remind them of a situation they were in? You know, I mean...
My favorite color is brown.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You were expecting pink, weren't you?
Really? How do you know?
But pink is good. Pink is up there. I think we have to stereotype. Yes, I love brown. In many different shades. I've realized I have a lot of brown clothing. I also am a brown girl. So I like brown. Mm-hmm. Brown is just... It's a nice warm color. That's why I like it. It's a neutral... Okay, wait. It can't be neutral and warm. But it gives me like this feeling of warmth.
And does it remind you of anything?
Yes. Though that I will tell you later. Not on this call.
I already have a hint. So I won't say it on the public platform.
A whole story.
What do you think is the best decision you made in your early 20s?
Best decision I made in my early 20s is becoming a researcher. It has shaped the course of my career. It has shaped the course mm-hmm. of my late 20s. It has helped me discover which areas I like working in. So that's how I found environment and climate change and debt and tax. And it's just given me a lot of purpose. I don't feel lost when I'm doing research. It's such a nice feeling when you conclude a research piece. It's just the best feeling.
So for you, mm-hmm. tell me a bit more about that. Where for a lot of us, when you think about research, we think about something so heavy, taxing, and you know, very burdensome. So is that the case, or is there something like enjoying research, like you actually, wow, what is this about? And you know,
okay, most of the times it's heavy, burdensome, migraine inducing, but then
mm-hmm.
that feeling at the end of the day that you know more, you can connect things, you can actually come up with new things that someone has not, maybe someone has thought of but has never put into writing, but you come up with new ideas and you feel like, you know, this is your small contribution to the world. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how I really like research. It makes me feel like I'm learning every day.
So are you feeling like one day you're going to do a PhD?
God willing.
Hey, Dr. Nazir.
Not a master's in. Do you want to do a PhD?
No.
Why?
I won't defame anyone on the podcast, but some people made me not like research.
That's defamation.
4.1. So I'm not mentioning names. But because for me, when I think about research, it feels now the burdensome there. Because initially I think about research and think, wow, an opportunity to learn something new, an opportunity to, you know, delve deep and expand my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's when I'm doing my own personal research. Now, when I think about research as actually something people actively do, I think, mm-hmm. It's so much work. When do you get a break? You know, and what is this that you research that has never been? Because, you know, again, sometimes they make you feel like, you're just running around in circles because they make you feel like you can never have your own new discovery. Someone is like, to what end, you know? But I really want to break that stereotype.
No, I think you just figure it out. Every research, every topic is like a new, it's like a blank canvas. You start again from ground zero.
And yes.
You learn, and as you go up, it's so frustrating, though, especially when you get comments on your papers and chapters or anything. Then you feel like, ah, it's so annoying. But then after you've addressed them and you're done, you feel like, yes, I did that.
Yes.
Yes. I think you should go for that PhD, Dr. Nyax.
Hey! Pave the way fast. To a traffic, Kwanza. We see.
No. See what you may say, the patriarchy. Let the men go first. Hey, it's only controversial. People are going to attack me. This is a joke.
Speaking of, right? I remember when we were together that time that when I was doing my internship.
Mm-hmm.
You never used to wear your hijab, and then after you never used to wear your hijab. So is it like a strict thing to wear? Amma, what was the thought process for you?
Okay, I've always been very strict with my hijab, as you should be.
Disclaimer.
disclaimer, as you should be. So from when I was like 16 till I was 26, I did not take it off at all. But then
Dead ass,
not even once.
What do you? Hey, how, even when it's hot, how do you survive?
See, you survive for God. But then, when did I start? Oh, yeah, I started removing it for when it came to my, see, when it was my elder sister's wedding, and I saw the pictures that came after Nini, I had one hijab. They were not very nice pictures. So then, 5 years down the line, when my younger sister was getting married, I was like, you know what? I just want to look pretty for this wedding week. Let me take it off. So that's where I started taking it off. Then after that, I had gone to Zim. And then one night, like, people are going out. And then I felt like going out also. So I was like, I just want to look nice. So I took it off again. Then this small incident of I want to take it off. For today, it's a special occasion. Today is a special occasion. That's how I started taking it off. I think generally, it really makes you feel less pretty. Me, personally, it makes me feel less pretty when I have it on. Because you can, there's a stark contrast, honestly, between wearing hijab and then not wearing it. Although those girlies who are still keeping it strong, I admire you. This Ramadan, I'm reforming. I'm not taking it off and putting it back on, hopefully after Ramadan. I think it was just a dip in faith. It's really faith that kept me strong in wearing it, no matter what, for those 10 years. And then I think when my faith dipped last year is when I was okay with removing it. But I still do feel the guilt a little bit. So I want to try and stop it.
And that's actually interesting that you bring that up. In terms of faith, because a lot of us are in an age where sometimes we struggle with our faith a lot. For you, what are you doing to, you know, get your faith back up? And what are some of the struggles you feel like some of us relate to that you could probably help us through?
Okay, I think habit building. I'm trying to build habits. And I've realized fasting is a very good tool to build that habit. You know how they say girls go through their mini Ramadan before Ramadan? So I was having my mini Ramadan before Ramadan, and I realized it's a very good way of building habits. So, you know, saying that I will pray on time, but then how do you actually make sure you pray on time? So maybe when you pray one prayer, you can pray to God and say, the next prayer, please help me pray it on time. And then you put alarms for right now is time to pray. Right now is time to do this, something like that. So I think accompanying, building those habits that go hand in hand with the goals you are trying to achieve, because mental and spiritual is also very much connected to physical. So you can't say you're trying to achieve spirituality and you'll pray, but physically you don't take the action of praying or praying on time, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, setting reminders. A friend of mine is the one who told me, if you really want to build a habit, put a reminder every day.
Mm-hmm. I've always admired how disciplined you are with your faith. I even remember when you used to be in the office, you'd be like, you know, before you go out, let me go pray. Then we go. So for you as well, have you ever struggled with being open about your faith? Or is it something that just for you comes natural that you know, this is what I stand for, and you know.
What do you mean being open about your faith?
You know how, okay, so for like Christians, you see how a lot of people are afraid to talk about their faith or like profess and say they're Christian because they feel like automatically people will perceive them differently or people will think they're judgmental, you know.
But why? Because it doesn't change the person you are. Like whether you're... Faith does influence our character to some level, but it doesn't mean now just because you're holy, then you're like alien.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, that doesn't ever cross my mind.
Mm.
Yes. It's... Wow. Yeah, so I find it... Mm-hmm. I don't think people should be ashamed. Like, you do you. Whoever wants to think whatever they think, you move.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, for you, reflecting on the past year, what are some of the lessons or experiences you feel like you're carrying forward to this year?
In every sector of my life, okay, I think I got lessons last year. Last year was a year of so much learning for me. So, okay, pick a sector, then I'll tell you.
Relationships.
We don't do that here. I'll pick another one. That's
when you picked up.
Pick another one.
Now you see, then who should pick? It's not mine. You don't pick mine.
Okay, next. See the next one. Wait. Give me the next one.
Okay, work-life balance.
Work-life balance. There's no such thing as work-life balance. The it's just a reality. The more you put in, the more you'll get out of it. You just won't have to choose. Do I want to invest more in work? Do I want to invest more in myself? Like, really, it's... I feel like if you really want to get things out of your career, especially, the 5 p.m. does not exist. You need to want to actually put in the extra hours. Forget balance. Like, if you really, really, really want to, I think, add value to yourself, forget the balance. Forget the balance. And it doesn't have to be like if the adding value doesn't come from like menial, like tasks which are not helping you build knowledge, but like things which are actually contributing to your growth, like to your knowledge. Those are the things that I feel like you should prioritize more. Although, of course, the not thinking a lot tasks are also part of any job.
Yeah.
I feel like the extra mile in your 20s at the time to put in that extra mile. So don't be like, oh, work-life balance. No, forget work-life balance. Invest in yourself so much. Do whatever it takes to be the best you can be. Forget the midnight. I feel like forget work-life balance. Do whatever it takes to be the best you can be.
Ah, say less. And social life?
Social life. This is a tricky... A lesson from last year.
Yeah.
A lesson on social life. This one I didn't think about it. A lesson on social life. Just because you're not talking to someone doesn't mean your friendship has become any less strong. Like, just keep that good intention and understand that adult friendships are people drifting apart communication-wise, but it doesn't mean the friendship is broken.
Yeah.
Yes, hey, I think...
So this is the excuse for not talking to me often on the record, but Miss Hour.
Yes, I was just hinting at you.
You're just hinting, clearly.
Clearly, you get it. You know what? You're a smart one.
Real. And so now the final task is to you.
Mm-hmm.
What is the question you'd love to ask the next guest?
One question.
Yes.
This is so interesting. Wait. I'm thinking. Let me think of a good one. Oh, ask them their thoughts about therapy.
Thoughts about therapy.
Yes.
Ooh, interesting.
A lot of y'all need.